Good morning, Saints. It's good to be reminded that we are just stewards over what God has given, and for Him to address our heart and mind in that, and to work in that in our life. He's continually doing that, and I'm excited today about where we are in the passage. I'm excited to study God's Word. Are you excited to study God's Word this morning? Good. You're good to be excited. Today we continue in part two of a message that I've entitled The Use of Spiritual Gifts. We'll have a part three next week. We'll get through the verses 1 through 11. Our text for this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, like I said, verses 1 through 11. So open God's Word with me, and we're going to be looking at these verses today. And like I said, it's part two of the message entitled The Use of Spiritual Gifts. So we'll get into the gifts that God has given us, and our use of them is really what we're going to be talking about. So as we begin, let's stir our minds a little bit. Let's kind of get our focus on what we're talking about, kind of get them going maybe this morning by answering a series of questions. I have some for you that we can think about and get your mind thinking on, and then you answer them. You might want to write them down, or you just might contemplate them in your mind. They're in your outline there. So here's the first question in our series here. What are spiritual gifts? If you were to think about that, somebody came up and asked you and said, hey, what are these gifts of the Holy Spirit? What are spiritual gifts? What are they? You know, you might give a list what they are. You might give a list what they're for. You might that kind of thing. How would you answer? How would you answer that question? Does everybody have spiritual gifts? Do all believers have spiritual gifts given from God? How would you answer that? What do you think? What do you know? Yes, we have some answers coming in. That's good. You know, we're thinking. Now, let me ask you this. How important is the use of them? How important is the exercise of the spiritual gifts that God has given you? The word gifts there means grace gifts, or the gifts of grace that the Holy Spirit has given us, given the body of Christ, given the family of God. So how important is it that we use them or that we exercise them? Would you say a little bit? Would you say, you know, somewhat or extremely important? You know, what would you say? What would you write down? How would your mind work in this and in God's word and God's truth about these things? The exercise of them, you know, and then here's another one. What is God's purpose for us having them? Does God have a purpose? Does he have a reason? Does he have, you know, did he just give them to you so to exercise them, but he doesn't really have a planned purpose with them? What's the purpose that God has given them to us? A little side note, it'd be important for us to have really clarity in these. And you know what we're going to do as we go through chapters 12, 13, and 14? We're going to have some extreme clarity from God's word on what all these answers are to these questions. That's what Paul is doing here. These kinds of the questions that Paul is beginning to answer in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. He wants to clarify for us. God's word wants to clarify for us, give us understanding, able to answer these questions, these things about the gifts of God that we have, these things about what God has given us to be a steward over. What we do with them, what's the purpose of them, and that we would exercise them in the right way. You can misuse them. Listen to our passage, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, just with our minds thinking on what we're on to this morning. Paul writes, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, when you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the distinguishing of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So he's talking about the use of the spiritual gifts, the gifts that God has given us. Each one of us, he distributes them. We're going to look at all of this. But you know what you have to put in the context here? So important to look at God's word in context. Because in context here is the Corinthian struggle. We've talked about it a lot. We've looked at it a lot. But you have to put God's word in the context that it's written in. the Corinthians struggled. Just as the Corinthians had perverted or misused most of everything that we've been looking at, they perverted and misused the nature, the purpose, and the use of spiritual gifts. They messed that up too. The use of spiritual gifts, the nature of spiritual gifts, the purpose of spiritual gifts. They've got the, you know, just like communion that we looked before, just like the Lord's Supper, just like immorality in the, you know, they just have some things off, and Paul is guiding them into the right. It's important for us to comprehend as we, and you know, that and think about that as we study these chapters that we're looking in. You know, the Corinthians are rich and complete in spiritual gifts, but they're poor in understanding of them and irresponsible in the use of them. And Paul's talking to them. We've seen that in our study. Remember, they're separated. They're divided. They got loyalty to groups. They got that going on. They're fleshly. They're selfish. There's quarrels going on. Jealousy, strife exists. They're self-focused. Pride and arrogance. Remember, I've said it many times, is the main theme of them. The main struggle of them is pride and arrogance. Chapter 11, we looked at that extensively as we looked before chapter 12, and we saw that they are abusing the Lord's Supper. They're not caring about others. You know, some are coming, and they got all this food, and they're just eating, gluttony, putting it all in. Hey, don't save any for those that have nothing to come in. I mean, they just have some things off, and they've been like this. But, you know, God is still at work in their lives. They're Christians. They're believers in Christ. God is wanting to bring them into the place that God wants to bring them in. You know, we're all on the journey of the road together. Sometimes we're on the road over there and over here, and I've talked about that many times. But that's what God is doing here. God is straightening the road for, you know, the walk for them. He's guiding them. They're off. So Paul begins to answer. Verse 1, look. Look what he begins to answer. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. He's answering a question they have of them, the questions that we've been talking about. But Paul is saying, I don't want you to be unaware. You guys, yes, you're misusing them. Yes, you're not. The nature of them is wrong. Even the purpose of them you have wrong. And I don't want you to be unaware of what they are concerning spiritual gifts. This verse 1 carries on all the way through chapter 14. He's writing about a concern. So God is concerned for me and you, okay? God's word and his teaching, he's concerned for me and you, that we would not be unaware. The word can be translated ignorant. God doesn't want us ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. That's a good thing, right? Amen? He doesn't want us ignorant of those of why he gave them and what the purpose of them are and what they're to be used for. He doesn't want us to be uninformed of the identification of the gifts or the purpose of the gifts or the use of them. And so Paul begins to write. And so we're going to even begin to understand and learn and grow in this thing. And he says the importance of spiritual gifts. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. They're vitally important. We looked at that last week. You know what? That's all I talked about last week. That's as far as I got. The importance of spiritual gifts. Let me give you the review for it. It's in your outline. Listen, the Holy Spirit has gifted each one of us. Look at every row, every person, everyone that's a believer. He's gifted each one of us spiritual gifts. Look at verse 11 in chapter 12. Look at verse 11. Look at what it says. It says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. The will of the Holy Spirit, God himself, third person of the Trinity, has distributed, it dispensed to each one of us that are here, spiritual gifts. Each one of us has them. It happened at your salvation. It happened at your salvation. Look at verse 13. Same chapter. For by one Spirit we are all baptized in one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, whether we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Listen, at your salvation, you are given the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Spirit wanted you to have. There's not a second work. There's not yet you get saved, and then you got to be seeking after and going after and finding how the Holy Spirit is going to come along and give you some gifts that he wants you to have to serve in the church, any of that. No, he gave them to you at your salvation. Each of us have been given grace gifts by the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in Romans 12, 4 through 6, listen to what he wrote in Romans 12, 4 through 6. He said it this way. He said this. For just as we have many members, talking about the church family, talking about us, talking about the body of Christ, for just as we have many members, look, we have many members, don't we? How many members does your body have, your physical body? It's got kind of a lot of members. I got a foot, I got a knee, I got an ankle, I got an elbow, a wrist, a hand. And this is what he's talking about. For just as we have many members in one body and all members do not have the same function. No, my hand doesn't function like my foot. I'm kind of glad about that. So we who are many are one body in Christ. So what we are, we're one body in Christ. We're one family of God. We have many different individual parts, but one function or one purpose. Individual members one to another, he says in verse 5. And then he listened to verse 6. He says this, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us, we all have gifts that differ. You have different gifts. What does it say? It says exercise them. It says since God has given us these things, we need to exercise them. We need to use them. That's the second point. We're to use the gifts that God has given us. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, spiritual gift, grace gift of God, employ it in serving one another. It's in the interaction of our life. It's in the relationships of our life. Within the church family, you use your gifts. So what do we use them for? What do we use them for? This is a review from last week. What do we have these gifts? We're to use them. God has given them to each one of us. We all have them. We're to use them. What are we to use them for? What purpose do they have? Well, let me ask you, was the purpose to edify you? Was the purpose to exalt you, for you to be made special? Well, God's word is clear. The purpose is to build the body of Christ, to build the church, to edify the church. A lot of different words. They simply use them to build Christ's church, not about the edifice. Craig, it is not about God gifted us and gave us all of this and even given us the overflow of abundance in our life and the wealth that we have so we will build buildings. It's always been about people. It always will be about people. The gifts that God has given you, given me, given all of us, he wants us to use them to build his church. Sanctification and salvation. I use those words a lot. God wants to use the gifts he's given us to bring people to Christ, for people to see the Lord Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel, for people to come to Christ, to be saved, and for me and you to grow in our relationship with the Lord, to be matured in Christ, our sanctification. That's what we talk about, for us to grow, to become Christ-like. Use a lot of different words like that. You see, there's an importance of the spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is a God-given capacity through which the Holy Spirit supernaturally ministers to the church family and to the lost. That's what we defined it as last week. You can look at it this way. It's a divine enablement for mutual ministry where God is at work in growing his church. Very important for me and you, for us to have this foundational truth in our heart and mind. Very important for you and me and for us as a church, as the body of Christ, to have these foundational truths in our heart and mind. Because God has gifted you and asked you to use your gifts so he can use you and work through you to build Christ's church. Through salvation to sanctification. That's what God is doing. When Jesus Christ returns, he's not doing it anymore. He brought you into the kingdom of God. He restored your relationship with the Lord. He gave you eternal life. He's paid for the penalty of your sin and your life and all that. And God asked of you that you would serve him, love him, live for him. And he gifted you so he could use you and your gifts to build his church. That'll be over when he returns. That's the purpose. That's what we're here for, foundational truths. The Corinthians messed that up. They messed up the use of their spiritual gifts. In their pride and their arrogance, the Corinthians are seriously off. They misused them. They abused them. And right off the bat, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me get a drink of water here. Look at what God says, God's word, right off the bat, Paul addresses it. He addresses their misuse or their abuse of it. Look what he says in 2 and 3. He says this, you know that when, he's writing to them and what's going on, context, concerning spiritual gifts, wants them not to be unaware, that wants them to understand, wants them not to be ignorant, he says this, hey, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now listen, do you remember the way you were before you got saved? Now, you know, it's a little different for, you know, a lot of us can be raised in the church, a lot of us in the church family, a lot of us with the principles of God being raised in our home and living for the Lord, and maybe you didn't this world, this life in Corinthian life, they came from a pagan life, much that I came from a pagan life. I can identify you easily how I was led before the Lord came into my life. I don't have any kind of qualms. This is because I was lost. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 2:1. This is how everybody that doesn't have Christ is led in the world until that Christ saves them. It doesn't matter if it looked different. Doesn't matter if it seemed a little more dressed up. Doesn't matter. This is God's word, what it says. Every single one person, before they came to Christ, this is how they were led. And Paul is wanting them to remember, hey, listen, you were led this way. Remember how you were led? However you were led, look at Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 3. Paul writes, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. So was I. I was dead to God. I was dead to his truth. I was dead to his reality. Could not see his truth. Only because God opened up my heart and mind, I could see it. Only because God opened up your heart and mind, you could see it. Nobody sees it apart from God and his grace. So everyone, this is what it was. This is how you were. Listen to how you were led. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. That's how you're led. You're led by the world. What the world says, what the world believes, what the world promotes, what the world says is important, what the world says is nice, is good, is right. According, what does the world say? It's according to the prince of the power of the air of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. You can write right across there, Satan. That's how I was led before I came to Jesus Christ. That's how you were led. And Paul is saying, hey, you guys remember how you were led before. And the rest, he says, by the lust of the flesh, by the lust of the mind, by self-gratification, by I got to have what I want. That's how we were all led. And Paul is saying, hey, you remember how you were led before you came to the Lord, however you were led. It was all about self-gratification. It was all about getting what you wanted. It was all about the way the world sees it. And listen to what he says. No one by the Spirit of God can say that Jesus is cursed. No one by the Spirit of God would ever teach or preach or say or share anything against the character, the nature, the truth of Jesus Christ. You know what's going on in Corinthian church? They got people standing up all over the place in speaking gifts, prophecy, the gift of prophecy, the gift of languages, the gift of tongues. 40 of them standing up in church like today. Standing up in church, say, I got a word from the Lord. And then share against the character and nature of Jesus Christ. And they're a believer. Some aren't believers. Some are counterfeit. Some are people trying to deceive the church. Because they're so emphatic to be recognized for the gifts that God has given. They're so prideful and arrogant that they want to be recognized and say, ooh, I got a word from God. I got a word from God. Let me tell you. That's what's going on in this church, you guys. That's what's happening. And then say, oh, I got a gift of tongues. I got a gift of language. Stand up and say these things in an unknown language. Nobody be able to interpret. Nobody knows what that was said. But God knows. And Paul is saying, hey, and you're cursing Jesus. You're teaching and preaching and sharing in these gifts of speaking gifts against the true character and nature of Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. That's how they're messing up. That's the misuse of the spiritual gifts. He said, you're being led not by God. Let me ask you, Christian, believer in Christ, can you live your life, can you be led in this world not by the Spirit of God? What do you say? Sure you can, right? You need to battle and fight and work and understand God's word and get into God's word and have prayer time and come and praise the Lord and be a part of the body of Christ. You need to work in your life so you're not led by the flesh or you're not still led by not the Spirit of God. That's a battle. Amen? Is that a battle? Well, God has gifted the church, the body of Christ, to help us so we're not led that way. What happens when a Christian struggles? What's one of the first things that happens in a Christian when they're struggling? You don't see them around the church anymore, do you? Why? Because God has gifted people in the church to help them not go that way. A gift of encouragement and counseling and admonishment and love and care. And you know what? They want their own way and they just move away and they move away. Is that a truth or not, church? Because God has gifted the body of Christ for us to love one another. We have a certain care for one another. There's a reality in that. And we want to reach out. We don't want you to not be here. Why? Because we all know our own self. And when we're not around, we drift away from the Lord. It's the way God's worked it. There's been no individual Christian really doing a real wonderful job of living for the Lord except the ones that God has set aside to do that. So Paul is here teaching, and he knows their struggle. And it's with the speaking gifts, and we'll get into that more later. It's in the exercise of them. And Paul says the Holy Spirit would never lead you to do that. Listen, the source of the gifts is the Holy Spirit. The source of the ministry that we have is God, or that we perform. The source of the accomplishment it has is not you or me. We don't conjure it up. We don't make it happen. God is in control of all of this. So that's what he teaches from 4 to 7. That's what we're going to look at today. That God is the source of this. Look at the passage with me, verses 4 through 7. So Paul moves right into this. Now, that word in there now is trying to help us understand, you know, we need to talk about the source. Because in your heart and mind, if you think you're the source, if you think you're the one that makes it happen, if you think that you conjure this up or you're in control of this, that's how you get off. Your pride gets you in that way. God's the source of all of this. And so listen to what he teaches, verse 4 through 7. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries, but the same Lord, and the same Lord. And there are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, you heard what he said, right? You saw the source. Verse 4, the gifts that are given, the grace gifts that are given by the same Spirit. Listen, the grace that you have, the grace gifts that I have, the gifts of the one next to you have, the spiritual gifts that God has given him are all given by the same Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Not some other Spirit gives those. I mean, I like how he writes that and helps us in our heart and mind. Now, think with me for a moment. This is what he's saying. The source is the Holy Spirit. Yours, mine, every believer, every single believer, it's by his will, is it not? He's the one that is the giver of gifts. Verse 5, the ministries. Listen to what he says. Verse 5, and there are a variety of ministries, but the same Lord. The ministries or the services are assigned by the same Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. That Lord, the Lord Christ. The work to be done is assigned by him. We could look at Ephesians 4, 3 through on, and that Jesus had assigned in the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. But what I want you to grab a hold of, there's a lot of ministry that goes on with the gifts that God has given us. They're assigned, they're decided, they're distributed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gifts are by the Holy Spirit. The ministry that God wants to be happening is assigned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to verse 6. And there are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. The effects, these words are the energy, the energized, they are empowered by the same God. He determines the effect, the outcome. So here's what God wants you to hear today. He's gifted you. He's gifted each one of us. We're to exercise our gifts because God has a purpose of building his church. But the source of all of them is God. It isn't me and you. It's not the pastor. It's not some special, it's God. God is the source. The word gift here is charisma in the Greek. It means grace gifts, gifts of grace. That's what it means. Anyone you ever think you could earn a gift of grace? Anybody think you can do something in this life that you could conjure up, that you could ask the Lord, that you could make something happen, that God would give you a gift of grace? These are grace gifts distributed by the Holy Spirit, by his will, to work in the ministries that the Lord's will is, to have the effect that God wants to have. Nobody in the church, nobody in the body of Christ, nobody should ever think that you got to go get them, that you got to seek after them, you got to make them happen. There's something for you to do to bring them into your life. Paul is going to unwind all of that thought that's here through these passages. You got them. He's just going to work in your life to bring the richness, the fullness of them out in your life as you mature and walk in the Lord. He's the source. The Holy Spirit gives you spiritual gifts by grace for the mutual ministry where God uses it to build his church. That's what they're for. You have to have that in your heart and mind. You have to understand that's God's truth. You have a God-given capacity through which the Holy Spirit ministers to the church family and to the lost. And the power and the effect and the energy behind it is God himself, and he works all things in all persons. And we need to be a steward of what we've been given, like what we prayed to, whisper in prayer today. That's so important as we go through this. You can see in our world today, you can see in the body of Christ in the churches today, where they haven't set that foundation before they preach this word and how that gets out of order. That's how it gets there, you folks. That's how it goes to there. It's not put in the framework. It's not put in the context. It's not put in what God is teaching and sharing with us. Important for us to know. So look at the dynamic here. Look at the incredibleness of what he says about the varieties. Hey, guess what? Look around. We're varieties. Well, we already know that, right? Had a three more born this week, varieties, right? Not one of them the same, right? And we're all praying that they're not like Grandpa. Variety of gifts. Now remember, grace gifts. There are a variety of them. We got some lists. You can look at 8 through 10. You can look at verse 28. You can look in Romans 12, 6 through 8. You can see some lists, but the varieties here is variety of distributions, varieties, multicolored. 1 Peter 4:11 says that there are two categories, speaking gifts, teaching gifts, kind of the thing, and the serving gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 says, they're all handed out. You have them. You've received them according to the manifold grace of God. Let me help you with this a minute. The manifold grace of God. Here's the manifold grace of God. It's so manifold, it's like a palette of color. And every color that you could ever imagine being interchanged and put on that wall right there in front of us right now. That's the manifold grace of God. You could really not identify, ooh, there's the grace over here. I mean, it's just incredible, the manifold grace of God. It's bigger than me or you could ever think or imagine. It's beyond our understanding. By that manifold grace, he has gifted us. Now, we can identify some of them. You have gift of ministration, gift of helps, those kind of things. They're in there. There's lists. But the flow of them is multicolored. We can identify some of your strengths, that you have the gift of teaching, that you have the gift of ministration, or you have the gift of helps, or of mercy, or of giving, or the ones that are in there. There's some main ones that we can identify, but you know what? The gift of teaching, you know how multicolored that is? How about teaching little ones? That's a totally different gift than the one I have. Now, I can teach little ones because I'm a teacher. God has gifted me to teach. But watch the ones in the cubbies. And look at the gift of God, that God has multicolored manifested in some of those young people in their lives as they work for that little one to understand the truth of God's word. You can pray for me. I'm going to do that Wednesday with the Coveys. I'm going to be in there. See, I want you to see, you can identify them, and God wants to identify them. God wants us to see them, but they're multicolored. There's a variety of gifts. Variety means distribution in many ways. There's no list. That's why there's not one in Scripture. People can grab them and say, ooh, we can get 19 or 17 or that kind of thing. But you know what? If God really wanted us to know, you know it would be written right down in here. Here are the gifts. I want you to identify them. Which ones do you have? And I want you to work it within those kind of things. He wants us to know and see them, but it's multicolored because it's the grace of God. They come forth in the interaction of the body of Christ. Listen to that again. Your gifts come out in the interaction of the body of Christ. They don't come out sitting at home. They don't come out playing golf, although we would hope so, right? Tom has a gift of putting. We could just say that. Is that in the Bible? But they come out in the interaction of the body of Christ because that's what God made them for, wants to use them for, to build his church. They come out in your family dynamic, don't they? Because this is, we're all family. You have a family. This is the dynamic, right? They come out in your family too, don't they? The leadership qualities can rise up into dad in a certain way, and we can see some things there. But there's some things that are in your home that you're gifted the Holy Spirit. You see it as somewhat in your kids as they grow. I could identify that God has gifted Andrea in certain ways to minister. She may never come home after she gets her education. She may serve in Africa. She may not. I don't know. But there's certain something there. I bet you Keith could identify it clearly, right? In your children. You don't know what God's going to do with it because he can use it in a variety of ministries. But it's there. So let's move along in this. You see, these aren't given for you. They're given for us. These gifts weren't given for you. They're given for us. Variety of ministries, services, that's the word, ministries. Never could be a list there. Let me just give you one. Apostles, prophets, pastors, shepherds, teachers, elders, deacons, ushers, ministry heads, worship leaders, youth leader, finance ministry, ministries in the church, gifted accordingly. Or you can go to counsel, care, help, encouragement, admonishment, love, discipline, discipleship, displaying love for one another, and all of the gifts that would just come into that. Spiritual gifts to minister in the ministries. Some need more of teaching gifts. Some need more of serving gifts. Yes. But you could have never identified the ministries. Paul could never know what to write down as what the ministries the Lord's going to assign in the church. Look what he assigned here. Run the list through your head. There's 39. They're all Lord. He has led us, guided us, led us to the ministries that are here. That he has gifted us to serve in the ministries here. To bring about his growth, his purpose of the church. For us to grow in salvation. Listen, this functions corporately. I want you to grab that. Spiritual gifts serve mutual ministry that the Lord has given. There are a variety of effects. What a great word. The word means energy or power. The energy or power to bring about the effect God desires and to make it effective. Turn your Bibles to Colossians 1:29. This is what he's talking about here. There's a variety of effects. Isn't that incredible? God could use you, has you ministering in the body of Christ, and then the variety of effects, the variety of power, he'll bring about what he wants to bring about because he's the one that's doing all things in all people. So we can even lay down, we can even just say, you know, Lord, I'm just serving you, loving you, wanting to honor you with my life. The effects aren't even for me. And you know what? There could be big effects. Don't let your head get too big. And there can be none that you've seen. Don't get too down because the effects weren't up to you at all. Wow, isn't that humbling? Isn't that just confronting into our life? Because we get, ooh, look at the effects, man. I must be doing wonderful. They're up to you? Don't evaluate your life according to effects. Walk with the Lord. Love the Lord. Live in what he's given you to do. Serve in the body of Christ. Use your gifts. The effects are up to God. I mean, the people in... I was thinking about this when you were talking in class today, Tom. The people that are in Hebrews 11 that were sawn in two and persevered in their faith. Well, I surely weren't standing in the corner saying, bummer, this really isn't having a good effect. But what God uses it for was God uses it for. And you know what's way beyond your eyes or mine? Who knew the way that people would live their life on Fresno State's baseball team and how people would live their life, get this, in this church while I mocked you guys, what God would do in a life? You don't know. We don't know. We don't know the effects of God. We know they're there. We know they're powerful. But wow, why would we limit what God can do? You know, we can live for the Lord in a year and reach the whole community of Porterville and have 20,000 new believers. Why wouldn't God want to affect it that way? Why wouldn't God want to do what God wants to do? Let's not put a box or a thing on the effects or it looked like this on the graph. The effects were kind of, oh my gosh. Look at Colossians 1:29. Look what God's word says here and what Paul is saying, Colossians 1:29. Look at 28 first. Look at what it says this. We, he's including us, okay, body of Christ, us. We proclaim him, that's Jesus Christ. We admonish every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. Now get this, God has gifted us. Guess what? God has gifted the body of Christ that we would teach every man, that we would encourage every man. He's given us wisdom, the gift of wisdom, that we would admonish and encourage and proclaim Jesus Christ to present every man complete in Christ, verse 28, now 29. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. There you go. There's the word. I'll labor. Do you labor? We labor. We labor according to his power because he's empowering me. He's empowering you. That's the effects of to make it effective, which mightily works within me. And that's the effect that makes it happen of what God desired. We could go on a lot on that. That's incredible. There's a variety of that going on. And me or you aren't in charge of it. The energy or the power is from God, the outcome of the effect of Paul's labor, of us proclaiming Christ, of admonishing every man, of teaching everyone, is God who works all things in all persons. We don't have time, but you want to read Hebrews 13, that benediction at the end of 20 and 21, and really look at that and see what God's saying. So God is the source of our spiritual gifts. There are great variety among us. There's great variety of serving ministries to be involved in. There's great variety of effects, a great variety of divine power to bring about his work. Look at verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12. We'll wrap it up today with just this, what we're saying here. Look at verse 7. What for? I like David. David, so what? So he gave us a variety of gifts. So what? He gave us a variety of ministries. So what? He gave us a variety of effects, that God is working all of this, that he's the source, and that he's endowed us, empowered us with these gifts, and that he wants us. So what? Here's the so what. Let's answer in verse 7. This is what it says. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. That's the manifestation, to make clear, a clear, visible spiritual gifts. That's what he is. He's given us clearly visible the gifts of the Spirit for the common good. The common good of who? The common good of who? Your neighbor, the world, the United States, Iraq? The common good of what? Of who? Of the church, right? Give me an amen on that, right? The gathering of God's people. That's what we're in when we gather together. For the common good of Living Word Fellowship, of Living Word's family, church family. Put that in. What's our common good? What's our common good? We all would be healthy and skinny and have more money. That's a common good. We could say that, right? We would, yeah. What's the common good? This is God's word, endowed, gifted. You are, I am, spiritual gifts given to us to serve in the ministry for the common good. What's the common good of us? Sumphero in the Greek literally means to bring together. Context means the mutual benefit of all of us together. What's the mutual benefit? God has given us these grace gifts to each one of us, empowers them, distributes them, brings about his work in them, all according to his will for the mutual benefit of us. What's the mutual benefit of us? What is God getting at, guys? What is God getting at? Build his church. Our sanctification, other people's salvation. That's what he's getting at. That's the common good. That's what he's at work at. That's what he's gifted us to do. You could say the edification of the church, or the building up of the family of God, the growth of us, maturing us in the Lord, relationship, walk with the Lord and with each other, and salvation of souls, the benefit of all of us. Listen, you could write it this way, not the temporal, the eternal. Now, we can be encouraged and strengthened in the temporal, in the immediate, in this life by the gifts that God has given us, but they always have an eternal perspective. For us in our relationship with the Lord, for us to honor God in the way we live our life, for us to be a testimony of Jesus Christ, you are gifted. Put it this way, you are gifted to affect eternity. Wow. That's what God wants us to see. So what's the application as we close? What's the application of God's word? You've been gifted for eternity. I've been gifted for eternity. God wants to use it for eternity. That's an eternal effect. What's the application? The use of our gifts, right? It's pretty simple. That's what it's all about. The use of our spiritual gifts. Now, we're not like the Corinthian church that we have these gifts and that we're all standing up and say, ooh, I got this and that. Our struggle is the lack of use. That's our struggle. Hebrews 12:1. We have a great cloud of witnesses around us, so let us lay aside every encumbrance and every sin that entangles us, so we will run the race set before us. The race set before us is to live for the Lord, be part of what he's doing in this life, building the body of Christ. And we have a great cloud of witnesses that people by faith have laid aside the things that entangled them and the sin that entangled them, to them living for what the Lord had for them. Moses laid aside being the king of Egypt. Abraham laid aside his son and said, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to trust in you. I'm going to lay aside my son, put him up on the altar, ready to slay him and burn him. Abraham laid aside where he lived and all the property he had and all the wealth that he had and all the things that he had. Noah laid aside his life, said, I'll build a boat for 120 years. They weren't even sin. He laid them aside. Paul's going to get to this. He's going to get to this in our heart and mind. He's going to keep talking about this. It's going to keep coming. And so in our heart, what God is wanting us to do is to recognize, what are we living for? you have a divine endowment to affect eternity. Wow, I just get overwhelmed. I just sat this thinking about this yesterday for an hour alone going, oh my gosh. Could anything be ever even greater for God to give a human being than to say, I've endowed you with something that I will use through you to affect heaven and earth forever? What are you going to do with it, Ken? Right now I'm going to feed my cow. But what an incredible thing, the gifts of God. What an overwhelming privilege and honor. Wow, we wouldn't want to adulterate them, bring attention to us. That'd be silly. So today, as we dig into this, and we're going to get into this and really look at these things and the truths of them, and you know what's going to come to the surface? Your understanding that God has gifted you. It's going to flow right up in there. And don't let the enemy have his way and condemn you and say, oh, well, you missed it. I'm a human, we're human. You know, God isn't wanting us to focus on that. What he's wanting to focus on is stewards of what he's given. Not how many times I stumbled, but that I just kept getting up, being a steward of what he's given. Okay, Lord, I'm going to learn from that. That's my relationship with the Lord, yours also. But he's going to bring all that up to the surface as we go through these passages and look at these things. We'll talk about the gift of languages. We'll talk about, you know, what they are and what they were for. And we'll talk about sign gifts. And we'll talk about those kind of things. But you have to have in your heart and mind, you have to have this in your heart and mind. God gave those to build his church, to grow our relationship with the Lord, to work in the body of Christ for the sanctification and salvation of others. They have a reason and a purpose. We want to live in those. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. We come before you today.